Prabu, apa jago? Prabu, apa jago? Prabu, apa jago? Paramatma jago. Prabu, apa jago? Prabu, apa jago? Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago, meri sarva jago, sarvatra jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago, meri sarva jago. Sarvatra jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Meri sarva jago, sarvatra jago, Prabhu apa jago, Paramatma jago. Meri sarva jago, sarvatra jago, meri sarva jago, Paramatma jago.
Thank you. So I got to see all of the people who are in the assembly. I like to do that. I like to see who's there. It's almost like the hall in India when you get to look over the people. And it's always just the right number. Too many people, I don't like it. I like it when it's just like this. Yes, Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. So, assembly, prepare, because I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. And what I'd like to say about listening is observing. And listening happens with more than just your ears. And a really marvelous way to listen is to completely listen to what you don't want to hear, without comment, without any mental comment whatsoever. Then you learn how to really listen. You learn how to listen as you would want to be heard. It's always how you reflect back on yourself, how you would want to be heard. So you listen without comment, without mental comment. Sometimes I'm in satsang and I see somebody's way out there. And I say, what are you thinking about? They tell me what they're thinking about. And I'm always a little surprised and not both at once. But to be able to listen with your whole being and your entire presence, I have told the Sangha many times that I always listen to Maharaji without commentary, without believing or disbelieving or analyzing what he was saying, just like an open vessel. And it did a lot of good because, well, just because you find out for yourself. Therefore, listening to what you don't want to hear, particularly from someone you love, is really wonderful. Why? What? What? What, Tara?
I would love to do it.
Oh, then do. She said she would love to do it. I said, then, okay, go for it. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great way to... And there may be feelings that accompany listening to something that you don't want to hear or you don't have time for or you'd rather go off on some other place. While somebody's speaking to you, which always surprises me, but it's okay. Things go on as they do. So, if you will be ready to participate, I will wait only a couple minutes, and then satsang will be over if we don't get participation. Okay. Michael.
Yeah.
You're on, Michael. No, you're on.
I was just thinking there are these global exercises on what we call empathy service, which is
Wait a minute. What do we call it? I didn't get what you said.
We call
the global exercises on.
No, well, there is an internet site where we can practice, everyone who wants can practice empathic listening, because it's called empathy circles. And it works in this way that I joined some of these places on Zoom, and then I'm placed together in a very close space with someone else. It's close in the sense that everything that is told in this space between the two persons is completely confidential. So it goes like this. The one person speaks 4 minutes about something from this person's heart or whatever it may be. And the other person is listening exactly like a tape recorder. No emotions, no nodding, no nothing. And no thinking here. And you don't have, the most difficult is not to nod and confirm, but you don't do that because then you are controlling the other's speech.
Then you're invested.
Yeah,
you may or may not be controlling others. Hold on, I'm going to speak. Hold on, I better speak for a minute now. I'm going to speak for a minute, and I'm going to come back because I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. You may not be controlling anyone, but you may be, now you're invested. Huh? You have an agreement or a disagreement. I like what you're saying. in the sense of learning to listen really well. Learning to listen to the wind is really nice, to the trickling of water, to the color of a flower. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much for empathy. I'm more for compassion. Why? Because you get involved and you have emotional uprising and empathetic kind of, you say no?
No.
What do you say?
Sometimes it gives a feeling on it.
Say again, please.
It sometimes helps me, like compassion feels more than like this. Empathy feels more like this, maybe, and compassion feels more like this.
No, I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. She says the compassion's a little more distant than empathy. I feel that compassion is cleaner. It doesn't invest in another person's emotion in the sense that you don't have to pick it up. And my view about that is, it's only my view. You can have your view. I want you to have your view. I simply am going to state what I'm stating here. When your emotion is calm, you're much more present. And picking up other people's emotion doesn't really do anything for them. So two people having the same sadness doesn't cure one person having that sadness. Where compassion, it seems to me, is much more compatible and less emotional and more open than what I know empathy to be. I don't know empathy very well, but what I do know is that, or what I have seen, is that people get doubly emotional and pick up each other's feelings. And I feel that that is kind of counter helpful. It doesn't seem to me like if I pick up your emotion that I'm doing you any good. I don't want to feel your emotional pain unless my feeling of that emotional pain is helpful to you. Then I'm willing. But I've never seen it thus far where that is helpful. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it. Doesn't have to be your take. I'm not asking you to have that take, but I'm telling you what mine is. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, because the exercise here is I should not necessarily control, I should have impact on the other's speech. Because the listener is supposed to be completely like a tape recorder pushing the record button. And without having any kind of emotions inside, without nodding, without anything. And when the 4 minutes has passed, then the listener is supposed to tell what I heard you say. Also without comment, without anything, just like pushing the play button on the tape recorder. And it's an exercise which has the purpose of learning to listen completely empathic to another person without any, yes. Yeah. And it's
without any emotional content. Would I be correct in saying, would I be correct in saying without an emotional content and without an investment in terms of anything other than really lending your listening to someone and they know that they have been heard?
Yeah.
Would you say so or not?
Yeah, exactly. And because the listener is supposed to tell exactly what I heard you say, and then the one who has spoken can say, I feel you heard what I said. So this is, and of course, it's
yes,
a very
excellent,
confident space there in the only two, and nobody gets to know anything about what they talked about because they're supposed, if they want to open their heart completely to the other person who is a stranger. you never know, met before. And I was together with one from Glasgow and one from Canada, and I didn't see them and I didn't know who they were, but we had this clear empathic relation. And I mean, first time it's really provoking not because people always do like this when they listen to other people, and you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to be completely, and also focusing on the other person, telling that person, I'm listening carefully to what you say. It's a really good exercise. Really good exercise.
Oh, so, good. I like it a lot. I'm looking up the word empathy. Affinity with, rapport with, sympathy with, understanding of, sensitivity towards, sensibility, identification with. That's my concern about it. Awareness of, fellowship with, feeling for. I don't know how you can feel for anyone in the sense of helping them. My sense is that emotions can always be like reflective, like a mirror, like-minded, togetherness, closeness, chemistry. And the other, the antonym is distance. So, yes, empathy must be a wonderful thing. Isn't it great just to change your mind? Still, I'll stay with compassion. I am not interested in being invested unless it can help.
Actually, I have another question.
Help, then, well, okay. And we are finished with the hands for now. We'll address what we have. And if we have more time, we'll go on. Go ahead, Michael, please.
Yeah, and that's a quite different question because I've been looking very careful to the picture of Mother Gayatri you sent in the first assignment. And she holds four items in her hands. And I would really like to, if you get an information about what are these items for and how do you use them. She has a flower and a wheel and I guess it's a bottle of fragrance and then an axe.
An axe
with a spear. So I've just been thinking, I've been looking so much and thought, what are they for? How does she use them? And there must be some kind of knowledge about that.
You write to me and tell me what you find.
But I'm asking you. Yeah, I'm asking the question because I, in particular, this wheel she holds on her finger, what's that?
Well, that's a chakra.
A what?
It's a chakra. C-H-A-K-R-A, chakra. Chakra.
Okay.
Krishna has a chakra. All of the gods in India have a chakra. And it sits on the end of their finger, and it's like a saw blade, and it's metaphysical and mystical. And it's like a mantra. It does its work. Bang. Like that.
Okay, so
it's called a chakra.
Okay. I'll write to you because I had some very interesting experiences while I was chanting and gazing with because I always joined with Mother Gayatri before and Relief after and there were some really funny things she did and I'll write to you about them. Okay.
I would like that very much. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
You look okay. Good. You look real healthy. You look real. You look very nice. Very good. Okay, so
thank you.
I'm going to go on to Sahara.
Yeah.
Thank you too. Thank you. Sahara. Oh, there's Max, and we'll stay with Max and Gabriel, unless Sahara wants to get on right away. Sahara, because you're next.
Namaste, Shanti Maya. I just wanted to say that a few weeks ago, in one of my coaching sessions, we went into empathy versus sympathy. And I thought it would feed the conversation a bit. That empathy is understanding what somebody else is going through, and sympathy is taking that emotion on. So that empathy is like being able to observe a situation and understanding what it would be like to lose a pet or have a sick child, or just to have an understanding of that. But sympathy is...
Well, I think that's compassion as well.
Acquiring.
I think that's compassion as well.
Yeah, it includes empathy, but it has a wider aspect. It also has being...
You mean compassion?
Yes, compassion has a wider... It includes empathy, but it has a definitive wider aspect.
I think it's much calmer myself.
The compassion, Shanti Mai?
Yes. Yes.
Compassion with love, no?
Yes. In a bigger sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sahara.
Welcome. Namaste.
Namaste. So, let's see. Gabriel and Max came on, so let's go with them.
Namaste, Shanti.
You're on. Namaste. Are you going to say something?
Yes.
Good.
I'm looking for the words. So I'm not going to ask about the things I know anyway. I'm not a good listener, and I know where I can. With Max, when he tells me things I don't want to hear, I know I don't listen really well. So it speaks to me.
Then he's good. He's going to be a very good one to listen to.
Yes.
And, yeah, I learned a lot with Indra how to be, you know, I just said to him, like I say to you, I want to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah. Yeah. So, Max would be a very, very good subject for you, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't like the word subject, but...
I know what you mean. Yes. So that task is clear. But I'm wondering about situations in my everyday life. People at work... I just don't like listening to because of the energy, behavior, how they treat others, how they come across. And I'm wondering, is there a discernment?
If you would listen to them, you would listen to them maybe just a couple times in an observing mode, an observing atmosphere in within you, your relationship with them might change.
Yes.
Because you can't listen with judgment.
Yes.
Because judgment overclouds you. It'll come up right away. What you do like, what you don't like. And I get it. There's really some clattery talk amongst probably office people or coworkers. But it might be really beneficial for you to learn to observe without any comment whatsoever?
That would mean any situation. I tend to avoid listening, like just being on public transportation or the woman in the Monday morning back practice class. Just not discerning at all.
Can you just listen without judging them?
Yes, exactly. I can't. And I don't so far, but I can.
Just to find out what it's like. I mean, you don't have to spend your life like that, and you may want to. Yeah. But just to see what it's like to listen in that way. Just once or twice. Or three times, or four times, or the rest of your life.
Yes. That is a task I'm taking now. I'll have ample opportunity in my life. Thank you.
We all do. You know, I think probably I have the least ample opportunity, actually, because the people around me are exceptional. Did you hear that?
I did. And you know what? I just thought it's also, I listen to you. You can say anything to me. I will always say yes. So it might be just listening to everybody like I listen to Shanti.
I'm always yes. If you don't feel to say yes, don't say yes.
Mm.
Somebody asked me this yesterday. They said, does anybody ever say no to you? I would pray that if they really felt a no in their heart, that they would say no.
Mm.
And my sense is that we have a very deep agreement on so vast a field of our lives. And yet, would there be a possibility to say no? Of course, there might. So I wouldn't want you to come across fully. Surrender sometimes might mean a no.
Mm.
I would like for you all to check in your own heart before you would comply. I would like that we understand each other to the point where we're able to speak about just about anything and to say yes and no. I think it's really important, don't you? I mean, really important. I love what you said because you gave the opportunity to, and I'm very touched by what you said. I have in my own life with Maharaji, I never had a no. But I always knew it was possible.
Mm.
And I would take it up if it came. If the opportunity came and I felt an absolute no, I would say so. And it did come up with other people and other situations. It never came up between he and I. But with other people and other situations in the ashram, I had a very flat no, and he had a very bright yes. And that only happened a couple times, but it never happened between us. It only happened when we were speaking about how the ashram was moving along. And it only happened twice in 30 years. 28 years. That's when, how long we were together. So I would always want you to feel extremely free to let me know that if you had a no, we could talk about it. I'm going to, of course, come out convincing you, yes. But no, I'm just kidding.
I think
Maybe I would.
Yes, I feel that this is also possible with you. It might not be easy for me to do, but I feel that it's there. Sorry.
Yeah, I had this with Maharaji. I was just speaking about it the other day where, you know, the first moment I met him, I knew I was done. I knew it. It was finished. There was no question. I was never leaving him. As long as I live, this is it. And I knew it immediately. But I always knew that the possibility still remained with me. And I liked that possibility because I never had to utilize it, but it was there. It was there. He kicked me out of the ashram twice. No, I'm not going to talk about it right now. He was kicked out by his guru too, by the way. The dynamics. Take 10 minutes. If you can't take more than 10 minutes, listen for 10 minutes. Because my sense is they're going to say something in there that you haven't heard before. Because you're turned off. And I understand being turned off. I get that. But we turn it on and just listen. Tell me next week how it was.
I will, yes. Thank you.
Welcome. Namaste.
Namaste.
Achula?
Hello, Shanti. My husband raised the hand.
Namaste, Shanti Mai. Can you hear me?
Namaste. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I can. I'm really good. You guys still look exactly alike. It never changes. How is that? You look like you're looking in a mirror. Anyhow, go ahead.
Thank you, Shanti. This topic of listening is very, very interesting for me also, so I will take it in and exercise it a lot. And I noticed a similar point, and I'm very grateful to you also, about the visual critics. Not when we are listening that we start to make up sentences and stuff, but when we see people, that we make a commentary, like a criticism in the mind. And I was very touched from previous satsang when you spoke about the Ashtavakra Gita. That's a very amazing insight, and I really took it to my heart like I'm doing a sadhana. So this visual...
Sadhana can last a long time, for years. Go ahead. Well, it can. It gets better all the time. Yeah. It becomes more of your dear companion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, actually, from the time I know you and I know Naropa, I also started with criticizing less. Even in the mind, the small commentaries that appears like, this person is not dressed well, or this person is not so spiritual, which is doesn't exist, of course. It's just something mind-made. And this has changed a lot, and I criticize much less, but still I notice a little bit is there. But even if it's not yet perfect, I feel much more lightness and joy in life and easiness in meeting people. which was not there maybe 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Yeah. I would very much love to bring the Sangha to a higher pitch. And so I will take your comment there. And I will read something to you from Wang Po. Let me assure you again that Buddhas dwell not in light nor sentient beings in darkness, for the truth allows no such distinctions. The Buddha is not mighty, sentient beings are not feeble, for the truth allows no such distinctions. Buddha is not enlightened, nor sentient beings ignorant, for the truth allows no such distinction. So, any time that you have any comparison whatsoever, understand that the truth with a capital T allows no distinctions whatsoever. If you want to see, if you want to move towards words are really shifty right now. Because all concepts have laid down as divisive. That's what I want to say. All comparative concepts, when one sees, is, realizes, truth with a capital T, language, all concepts are divisive, and they're all laid to rest, and then you begin to see things as they are. Not as you think they are, not as you perceive them to be, but you see through your perceptions and your concepts and your judgments. And you still may judge. You may discern, you may have to. But if you want to see, truly see, the truth allows no distinctions whatsoever. So take that to heart. Yeah.
I definitely take that to heart.
Yeah, hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. Somebody here is responding to our conversation. Go ahead.
We've spoken a lot about perception is reality. Is there a point on the realization journey where reality is reality?
Perception is not reality. Perception is a person's way of seeing their reality. There is no reality here whatsoever. Zero. Why is that so? Because reality means stable. Exactly. I could see her hand moving. Reality means stable. You can say this is real. There's nothing in our experience that you can say is real.
Yes.
So when we say perception is reality, that means that's the way they see it. And you should, must, or not see that that's the way they see it so that you can understand where they're coming from.
Yes.
Okay, there's a difference. We live in two worlds at once.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of this world and one of a transparency of this world so that you can see through it, so that you can realize what is actually true. Ought to get onto it, because when you get onto it, this world is a lot easier.
Is there more than two worlds?
There's not even two, really. I'm just talking about a way of seeing. Are there more than two worlds? What would make the difference if you don't find out what the one world within you is, or the one view? We don't go to the next step until we see the first step. There are a lot of questions to be answered, but what is your experience? preferably your experience is that you see through everything. And cling to nothing. And understand that the truth has no distinction between this and that at all. And yet there are distinctions, and yet there is existence. You understand? Again, Huang Po said it very well when he said, though there is no indwelling reality in any of this, in some marvelous way it does exist. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful, beautiful statement, because it's really, he had such a way of speaking so clearly. This is what I love about him. I don't feel that I haven't heard anything that Wang Po, I don't feel that I've ever not heard anything that Wang Po has said. Yet the way he delivers is very direct, very clear, and very available, because it's already known in you. It's already realized in you. You come to see it. If you want to, you can cover it up for the for lifetimes. You can cover it up for lifetimes with how you think it ought to be, how you think it is, all of that. But the truth allows no distinction whatsoever between this and that. Then you begin to see. Very fine teaching. Very fine.
Gentlemen, could that be called?
So, would. Go ahead, please. Please, go ahead.
Could that be called like pure perception when we perceive the reality instead of the appearance of things?
I don't think you'll ever perceive reality. You'll perceive views and experiences of people. You'll experience their convictions and non-convictions, your own. But reality is not perceivable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you are the reality that you're seeking. And reality is a funny word. It's a strange, odd word. Real means to go around and around, to real. Means to go around and around. It's very, very, what we're speaking about is very delicate in language, very delicate indeed. But you can perceive by understanding the truth with a capital T, and there is no truth, allows no such distinction. We need to use language like arrows, pointing and directed to where you want maybe to language becomes very feeble now. It's very feeble. You want to go. Well, are you going anywhere? You know, it's very, very tricky. But when you will see that truth allows no distinction whatsoever, and all of your judgments and all of your ideas and all of your concepts are basically worthless, and yet function in this life somehow, you see both. And one isn't thwarted for the other. They are both seen at once. What were you going to say?
You often speak of paradox, but I've never heard you use the word before, and I wondered if there was...
That's because paradoxes are... There's no paradox. She said, I often speak of paradoxes. Actually, I don't. And...
dichotomies is how you...
I don't speak in dichotomies. Whatsoever.
Not in dichotomies, but you've often spoken of the both and, for example, like...
Well, give me an example.
In what you've just said, you've spoken about two simultaneous...
They're not two. That's the problem. That's the problem you have.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not two. You and I are not two. There are no two. There's the appearance of two, and the appearance of life, and the experience of life, and it is undividable and inseparable. And there is no... Well, you're not going to see it just by looking out there. You're going to see it by looking in your heart and soul, and desiring to see it with all of your heart and soul, and not clouding your view with anything. That's why he says, that's why Wong Po says, the truth allows no such distinction whatsoever. So when you're when you're relaxed, let's say, and your thought is empty, then you begin to see the transparency of what appears to be. You begin to see through things. You begin to see through your own ideas, even though you may use them, that you may utilize those ideas. But you get to see through them. You get to see through the unreality of this existence. The unreality of this existence. Why is it unreal? Because the people who walked in here are not the people who walk out. They are different in some way. Time, aged. Mm-hmm. The person who walked in is gone. The person who is here now is in a flux of change. Very deep, very beautiful, very stunning, and is incredibly, what we could say, but we would be misrepresenting in a way, what we could say is that when we see through our own identities and this experience, well, we're certainly not afraid to die or live. Because we're not our body. We're not our name. We're not the way we feel. We're not the way we think. We're not the way, nothing, none of that really. And you think much clearer. And you're much more honest. And you don't care if you're seen or not seen. That's not a thing. And all of this kind of stuff that we like jewelry that we think we need, we find out that we're really quite naked all of the time. And there can be no distinction between you and I, because the truth will not permit it. That's what I want to say.
Thank you, Shantimai.
So you're welcome. If you, when you will see that you're judging, just see through it. And you may have to judge. You may have to. But you will not entertain yourself with it, that's for sure. Because you're just closing your eyes and your ears and your wisdom down to your judgment. And that's exactly what happens. And sometimes you have to judge, and it opens something up. You can't take, you just cannot say how it is. Mm-hmm. See through it. See through it. See through language. See through age. See through birth. See through identity. Buddhas are not enlightened nor sentient beings ignorant, because the truth will allow no such distinction. So rich. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste. Okay, K's iPhone. That's Kirk.
Namaste, Shantimai.
You look like you're cold.
Are you cold? No. No, it's a cool, it was a cool morning this morning, but it just comfy.
Where are you?
I'm in Iowa.
Okay. So what's on your what do you want to speak about?
Okay, so the topic that we started off with, there's for quite a while in this area, I've noticed a lot of people that have come here from another place, meaning country slash countries. And it happens almost every day. And so I've been observing this, I don't even know what to call it, influx or whatever. But when I see these folks show up here, it's so unlike this area, the way it has been in the past, because it was pretty much stayed the same for such a long time. And then over the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 years, there's a lot of people coming. They're here. I don't know where they live. When I see this, somebody is giving them money because they have new clothes. They have full grocery carts and they don't speak any English.
It's giving them money.
What?
Government's giving them money. $2,000 a month is what they get.
So I've been observing this, and so this is something that's been working in me for quite a while. And I noticed that I have these judgments, or that I've had these judgments against, not against, maybe is not the right word. It's just that, how is this happening? And how is it that, you know, other people are having a really hard time, and here's people that came from where they used to live and they're getting paid somehow. So this happened to me yesterday again, and I noticed people from another country that's quite far away. You know, and I'm just observing these thoughts. And then I'm also observing, I've been observing the judgment that I have I'm just wondering about all this and what is happening to, I mean, it's not just this area. I know it's happening in a lot of countries and places. So I woke up quite early in the middle of the night last night with a sort of a disturbing dream. So I didn't go back to sleep, and I was contemplating this dream that showed me something. And then this morning it just dawned on me. Like I heard it. It all it was just let it go, because I was making this judgment about all of this, and I was occupying consciousness or whatever. I don't know.
Yes. You can say you were occupied.
Right. But I was choosing to do, I was choosing these judgments and, but also asking questions about all of this and, you know, going on, there's a lot of deep little avenues or capillaries you can go down and, you know, to go down. And then it was just like, I heard it. I heard it. It was just let it go.
Yeah.
So that's really what I had to add to what the topic.
I appreciate what you're saying.
It has
people
a lot
are
of
just being used against each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's
that's
a division. yeah, there's division and things going on. And if I'm making those judgments, am I being pulled into the division?
Yes. For the truth allows no such distinction.
Exactly. Great.
And if you can do something about it, I would say do it. And if you can't, then you can't.
Well,
the world's in a very strange situation right now. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If I can add one more. I was on my way to...
Oh, please. Please do.
Okay. Somebody, I had received a message to come to a gathering. It was some folks locally and nationally, some folks were gathering to promote their campaigns politically. So I had sort of received this indirect invitation to go, and the timing was off. So I arrived right when this event was being, when it was over. And, but there was a young man, who engaged me. And so we had about a 20-minute conversation, and so I listened to him, how passionate he was, and I asked him a lot of different questions, and he actually knew everything that I asked him, but yet the answers to the questions would have, and I said, if you ask these questions, this will lead you to another place. And then he had to go, and I wondered about this. I wondered if that conversation would plant a seed in this young man to go beyond something. Mm-hmm. But this all ties in with these.
Well, you made the offering.
You know.
Yes, but you made the offering, and that's all you can do.
That's all I have.
It's like the Sundance.
Yeah.
You make the offering. It is, isn't it? You make the offering. That's what you can do.
Yeah.
And maybe you find out you can do something else for somebody. I mean, who knows? Who knows what will come? Life goes on, and people realize the truth, so to speak, so hard to say, in the midst of their everyday life.
Mm.
People are being used against each other. That's my view. And that's my view of the world situation, right? That in that particular area. I feel for everyone. Everyone. How can you talk about one thing and then talk about the other as you have? Because they both go on at once and it's not divided at all. There is no separation between anything. And when we see that, our life changes. And we still may be activists. We may be not activists. We may be mothers. We may be fathers. We may be whatever we live our life out as. But we see things for what they truly are rather than what we think they are. Anyhow, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see you in India. Looking forward.
I'll see you in
Baltimore. There, if we can get.
I'll see you in Baltimore.
Good, good, good. Great, 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 great. See you later.
Thank
Take
you.
Care, Kirk.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. So it is in a way a perfect world to take Wang Po's terms, his very, very clear language. Buddha is not enlightened, nor are sentient beings ignorant, because the truth will allow no such distinction. What a vast, 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 unfathomable space. Is no such distinction. And then we have our lives. And they're not two. So how we proceed is how, excuse me for saying, but for what I've always said, cease judging, toss out doubt or doubtlessness, just toss it out. Stop playing with it. And you'll have to judge once in a while, you'll have to. But it's not your entertainment anymore to start seeing the difference here, the difference here, the difference here, the highs, the lows, the beauty, the dumbness, the smartness, the money, the success, the failure, because the truth will allow no such distinction. So that quiets and it gives the thought realm, so to speak, an incredible reflective quality. And one moves through life much better. Because all of these maladies that we think we have, I put this recently on a transmission, all these ideas about all this stuff that we think we are and we think we have and we think we need to fix and all of that, if you had none of the concepts, you'd have none of the problems. I'm going to repeat. Remember the lady who came to me and said, I have a problem with authority, Shanti Mai, after satsang, right? She came and she said, I have a problem with authority. And I said, well, what if you didn't have that term authority? And she walked away and in a good way. She wasn't like, like that. She just walked away. And the next day she came back and she says, I no longer have a problem with authority. I've eliminated that from my vocabulary. So she came very quickly to see that what she conceptualized and what she freed herself from conceptualizing literally did free herself, literally did. And I was very touched by that. And she was willing to give up the idea that anybody could be an authority over her, or that she needed to fear it because she was creating the fear. So there it is. I thank you for satsang. The truth allows no distinction whatsoever. Everybody here in this room, their thoughts just went quiet. And in that kind of silence, after a while, one begins to see very clearly what they've always known is so. And what comes out of that, first and foremost, I would say, that helps us maintain vigilance until we don't need to be maintained anymore. And we need not be vigilant in that same way anymore, is love. Mm-hmm. Namaste, everyone. What?
Om Sharanam Om Sharanam Om Sharanam Namo Sharanam.
Thank you, Premal. Thank you so much for that. Oh. I come back to ask if he will meet me in about an hour on Skype. So if he will, then I'll see him. If he won't, then I won't see him. So namaste, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. That concludes the satsang. I just wanted to add a note. If anyone is looking for accommodation in India, please email us at starmediainfo@gmail.com. I've been in touch with two hotels near the ashram that still has space. Likewise, if you know of other places where accommodation may be available, if you could write us with the contact information. Thank you all. God bless.